We've studied, the basis of this is Romans 13, where it says, almost no man anything. And we've spent the last week studying all the different kinds of debt. We studied parental debt, generational debt, self-image debt, financial debt, all that kind of good stuff. Now we're going to see the penultimate example of this teaching on debt, but also to see the critical error of the prosperity gospel. What? Oh. So let's go to Job chapter 22. Well, let's go to Job chapter 1 first. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses. We got a few of those here. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their fasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. The point of it is, there's some people that say Job is the oldest book in the Bible. But I don't know about that. But we don't know the location of where he was, or we don't know much about it. But we do know that Job, according to this, was the greatest in the East. That he was rich. He prayed for his sons. He did everything right. And now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Or why are you here? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And we all know all of his afflictions. He lost everything he had. His children died. His wife died. He had boils so bad that the dogs came and licked the boils. He was right nigh unto death and lost everything that he had. And Job had 2 friends. Now we're at the point where he's lost everything. Now let's go to Job 22. I would encourage. I forgot when we read this. We read Job for the fast of Ab. And it's I heard an interview yesterday, or the day before yesterday, about a guy that wrote a book and became an atheist because how could God allow suffering?
Yeah, I heard part of that.
And we've seen that here. God would not do anything evil. And the problem is that it's what anybody defines as evil. Something they don't like is evil. We've had many people leave over that issue.
Really?
Yeah.
And so here we are. Job was perfect, upright, eschewed evil.
What does that mean, eschewed?
He had nothing to do with it. He spewed it out.
William Buckley used to use that word a lot.
Well, William Buckley is dead.
Wherever he is, he's dead. Eschewed life.
So Job 22. He has two friends. One of them is named Eliphaz. And I forgot the other one's name. Go to Job 22, verse 21. And the implication herein is the implication in all prosperity gospel. That if you're not prospering, there's either you haven't repented, there's secret sin in your life, you have generational curses ad nauseum. You haven't given enough. And so here we have this guy that was the richest guy in the land, and now he's lost everything. Everybody that he valued has died. Dogs licking his.
We got that part.
All right, so these guys, Eliphaz now comes along, and Eliphaz tells Job that his problem is, the reason that all this is happening to him is that he hasn't repented enough. So listen to this speech. Job implored to repent. This is Eliphaz. And you can read the whole chapter 22. It's all of his, Eliphaz is accusing Job. But now in 21, it's culmination. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver, too. Then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty. Thou shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Then thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. And it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Sounds like every speech we've ever heard in church. It's obvious. There's something wrong with you. There's secret sin. You're not praising the Lord right. You're not studying the scriptures enough. You're not doing 1,000 things. And that's the reason things aren't going well for you.
Cause and effect.
Yeah, or fast, or whatever. Ad nauseum. But Job answered. And I just want to read. Well, let's read it. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, so that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me to do. Implied. And many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was cut off before the darkness. I was not cut off before the darkness, excuse me. Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. The phrase I want you to hear, he will perform that which he hath appointed me. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. He will perform. He will do. Now, every issue that you have spiritually comes from you thinking that you have to do something. Well, I don't care if it's spiritual, anything. He appointeth. He does. He accomplishes the thing. Now, you've seen now these two different views of God. One from Eliphaz and one from Job. Now, let's see what God says about it. Go to Job 42. Decree a thing. Pay thy vows.
Touch your neighbor.
Prove me now herewith.
It's religious carnism. Every prosperity preacher that I've ever heard at some point in his preachment use that. Thou shalt pay thy vows, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee.
So says Eliphaz.
And so say all the prosperity gospel preachers, those who think that gain is the evidence of godliness. All right, now Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Now, that's what has to happen. You have to see when you mouth scriptures. Therefore you utter things that you understand not. That's why I've said over and over and over, don't speak of anything until it has been wrought in you by Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, it's just religious babble. Oh no, it's the Word of God. Yeah, but it's repeated by an idiot.
Yeah, it becomes vain repetitions even though it's in the Bible, because you're just repeating
it
vainly.
It's your...
Because you have no understanding. It isn't you. Now, Gary is secretly smiling because this is all that was taught to him at Christ for the Nations. You made the scriptures into some magic spell that you could cast by repeating words. You use Jesus' name as some kind of a magic name to get stuff. And it's just sorcery. It has absolutely nothing to do with true godliness. Remember those days, Mr. Buckner?
I remember that's what they taught them.
I remember you kind of got infected with it.
Well, you enjoyed my days there also.
Remember when I told you it had the same value as when you took drugs?
I remember that.
Anyway. Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, for I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And when you repent in dust and ashes, that does, or sackcloth even, that it signifies that that's what happened to that, what was sacrificed. If you're sacrificed, if you put dust and ashes and sackcloth on you, the sackcloth was made from the hair of the animal that was just sacrificed. So that means you understand that you died with that animal. When you put with ashes, you have been burned with that animal. With dust, it means you have returned to see yourself as nothing but dust. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And that you can't go from hearing of him to seeing him without suffering. And you know that you believe a strange gospel. A false gospel, when you in any way believe for any moment that whatever you're going through is strange, that suffering is strange, you know you've been deceived. Can you understand that? Okay, now let's hear what God is saying to all this. And so it was that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, whatever he is. Now that's, and he's the one that just said what we studied earlier. My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. All the religious babblings of Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Copeland, and Jesse Duplantis, and Benny Hinn, and all the others of their ilk, they're deceiving you. But oh, how your mind would love for those things to be true. Oh, how you'd love to be able to give 1,000 or 5,000 and get 500,000, because it's 100-fold blessing. But that's not. That 500,000, 500 billion is nothing compared to what God has given you freely. All right.
Yeah, I was seeing here when you were reading about it said God's anger was kindled. And it's not like, it's just like, I'm sorry, that's the wrong answer. It's like the stakes are really high. Because Eliphaz was wrong, but he was also, it kindled God's anger, which is like a big deal.
My servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamanite, whatever he is, went and did according as the Lord commanded. And the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, what I want you to take away from this, whatever there is for you to perform, whatever there is that you think you have to do, you're being deceived. For the Lord will perform that which he has appointed. Now that has to be total. It's in everything. There's no more the religious debt, which is really cause and effect. No more anything. You're either free or you're not free. You can't be partially free. And if you still owe all of these little societal debts and obligations, and this is the way I've been taught to be a nice person, and if I did what I did, blah, blah, blah. Anybody understand? Just a few more scriptures on the same.
I've got this link to yesterday, so this week, of offering of Cain and the two-horned lamb.
Amen. Let me just read these few verses. What we just read, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Job 22:14. You can also go to 1 Kings 6:12, Psalm 57:2, Psalm 138:8, 1 Thessalonians 3:3. But now in Isaiah 9, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And in Romans, we just studied it. Not just, a while back in Romans 4, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he also was able to perform. And in 1 Thessalonians, let's look at that one. 1 Thessalonians 5. Can you maybe get a little feeling here that there is absolutely nothing for you to fret about, to give breath to in time and space? There's no worry, there's no issue. Can you capture that for a minute? What?
Nothing. Just listening. Yes, I get it.
You left for a second.
I was thinking about things that I've been fretting about in the last 5 seconds and letting it go. I can't fix it.
What?
I'm lacking at that interaction.
What was funny about it?
Well, the moment's passed, I don't remember.
What's way left? Why did you ask?
Verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Period. Unless you're now separating your life.
Again.
And saying, well, I've got that. He's not talking about what I do on a day-to-day basis. He's talking about my going to heaven someday and going and crossing the river and going into Beulah Land. If it isn't true in the smallest detail of your life, it's not true in the biggest one. So stop. And right now, take off the Babylonian garment. Never again fall for cause and effect. Never again lean on your own arm of understanding for any issue. Remember, all eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them. It was written in Isaiah, for them that wait on him. It was written by Paul, for them that love him. Waiting on him is the evidence that you love him. And so if there's something, it doesn't matter what the issue, and it doesn't matter how long you wait. Doesn't matter even if in your waiting you're bringing harm to someone else. You cannot violate it. You understand? No matter what it is, you instantly give it back up to him and then wait. Oh, this is what we have to do, and here's how I did it before. Well, how did you know, your whole crap of life of how you did it before is what brought you here. If you build up that which you destroyed, you have made yourself a transgressor. And for you then, Christ died in vain. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand what I have to deal with, Ole. No, I do. And the only thing that's going on in your mind is you think you're so special that the sacrifice of his son wasn't enough for you. So you got to go and play the Gentile. Isn't an issue that can come into your life that isn't from the hand of God. Your only response is to instantly give it back to him. And then wait. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody want to think up some exceptions? Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
I like the fact that when we're reading Job, that there was even a form of somehow redemption for the friends. They got prayed for, you know, which, you know, it was like something, you know, everything is taken care of.
Amen.
You know, even all the stuff that seems crazy and wrong.
But you never, ever, ever, ever excuse your rebellion. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. So if anything that you want or anything that you're esteeming is common, it's abomination. It's not an abomination, it is abomination. It's the abomination of desolation, because you have returned the evil one to this mercy seat. You're trying to get you've left the mercy seat. This has staggering implications. Gary, what's going on?
Oh, I just hear this and realize that I'm guilty of everything. And I don't have an option, but it's repentance and his salvation.
You're not going to wait until you see a blinding light and then do it?
I've already seen that.
Okay. Miss Smiley Face, how are you?
I thought the smile would work.
Do you understand? Anything you'd like to share with the class?
I'm amazed at how many things I can worry about at the same time. It's just what, it's all I do, is worry about this.
It's kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. It's kind of stupid.
I can see that.
How's it worked out for you?
It's exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
You seem like such a smart woman.
Appearances are deceiving, aren't they?
But we're all guilty of it. It doesn't matter how much you do it or how much you don't do it, because in that situation... time is shit. Just get out of it.
Now is the only accepted
just
time.
Just get the hell out of it.
Cal is like the amen corner.
The what?
Well, just because I know some people think, like, the one time when Gary, was like, no, I'm just
the
saying,
one time?
At band camp. When Gary was saying that it was, just, does anybody else feel this way? And it's like, well, yeah, we're all human. We're all going through it. Whether it's in
you are they God. That justify yourselves among men.
That's what the body's for.
You're in a roll over minutes.
Take it, big guy.
Are you getting Romans? I mean, you're getting verse 7.
Friday. Now,